Lord Ramachandra's appearance day is very popular. As a matter of fact, when I was in Thailand, we were visiting all... There are many temples of Lord Ramachandra in Thailand. Thailand's a Buddhist country, supposedly. And they have big, big temples of Lord Ramachandra because they have, as this verse which I'm going to read, they have their own idea of who Lord Ramachandra was and what his pastimes are. In any case, at least they're chanting his name and some kind of pastime. So this is from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 9, Chapter 10, about the activities of Lord Ramachandra. The title is Pastimes of the Supreme Lord Ramachandra. And this is text number 3. I'm not going to read the Sanskrit, but this is the translation. O King Parikshit, the transcendental activities of Lord Ramachandra have been described by great saintly persons who have seen the truth. Because you have heard again and again about Lord Ramachandra, the husband of Mother Sita, I shall describe these activities only in brief. Please listen. Purport. Modern Rakshasas, posing as educationally advanced merely because they have doctorates, have tried to prove that Lord Ramachandra is not the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but an ordinary person. Those who are learned and spiritually advanced will never accept such notions. They will accept the descriptions of Lord Ramachandra and his activities only as presented by the Tattva Darshis, those who know this absolute truth. In Bhagavad Gita 4:34, the Supreme Personality of Godhead advises, Tadvidi pranipatena pariprashnena sevaya upadekshanti te jnanam jnaninas tattva darshinaha. Try to learn the truth by approaching a spiritual master. Inquire from him submissively and render service unto him. The self-realized soul can impart knowledge unto you because he has seen the truth. Unless one is tattva-darshi, in complete knowledge of the absolute truth, one cannot describe the activities of the personality of Godhead. Therefore, although there are many so-called Ramayanas, or histories of Lord Ramachandra's activities, some of them are not actually authoritative. Sometimes Lord Ramachandra's activities are described in terms of one's own imaginations, speculations, or material sentiments. But the characteristics of Lord Ramachandra should not be handled as something imaginary. While describing the history of Lord Ramachandra, Shukadeva Goswami told Maharaj Parikshit, you have already heard about the activities of Lord Ramachandra. Apparently, therefore, 5,000 years ago, there are many Ramayanas, or histories of Lord Ramachandra's activities. And there are many still. But we must select only those books written by Tattva-darshis, Jnani Nas Tattva-darshinaha, not the books of so-called scholars who claim knowledge only on the basis of a doctorate. This is the warning by Shukadeva Goswami, Rishis Tattva-darshinaha. Rishis Tattva-darshibhi. Although Ramayana, composed by Valmiki, is a huge literature, the same activities are summarized here by Shukadeva Goswami in a few verses. Shukadeva is warning us that practically everyone in this material world is a materialist. That's why they came to the material world. No one came here just to hear the activities of the Lord Ramachandra. And if we understand the activities of the Lord Ramachandra, it may not be very much appreciated by some materialists, and therefore they have a tendency to change his activities to suit their sentiments. The idea is that tattva-darshinaha, to actually experience Lord Ramachandra and his associates. that requires spiritual senses. Although apparently Lord Ramachandra's activities are very exciting, and then certainly they are, that's why they're often recited. Not because people believe that he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but because they like exciting pastimes. Before James Bond, whoever else came along, he was top of the pops. Because he did amazing things. Look, James Bond would kill a few people, but he was killing thousands of people. And not with machine guns, but with arrows. Now, if we hear about Lord Ramachandra, what he did, some of it will be believable by the materialists. The fact that he had a mother named Kaushalya, they won't say, well, that's impossible. At least for now. Times are changing, though. And that he had a father named Dasarath. These are all acceptable. That he was about to be crowned the there are other pastimes where he picked up a bow that was the bow of Lord Shiva, and he strung it and broke it, and the sound of the bow breaking was so loud that everyone fell unconscious. Now this is where it gets a little bit interesting for most people. It goes into the fairy tale. They think it's a fairy tale. That Vishwamrita Muni came and asked for Lakshman and Lord Ramachandra to go and help him defeat one demon, Marichi, and his band of followers, and he taught him Bala and Abala mantras. And with just two mantras, he was able to manifest all the weapons of the demigods. People read this and say, oh, yeah, Valmiki. Very imaginative sage. Similar to Vyasadeva living on a mountain in the Himalayas, not much to do. Saw a few plants growing and decided to experiment. And suddenly he started to see so many visions and pastimes. Luckily he wrote them down, and now we have some. And now we have something to give a class about. And that's only the start of becoming interesting. You know, Lord Ramachandra's about to become the king of Ayodhya, and Mandara gets envious, poisons the mind of Kaikeya poisons the mind of, well, tells Dasarath to give her the boon that he promised. Instead of becoming crowned, Lord Ramachandra is banished into the forest for 14 years. And then his wife and brother come along with him. And they meet so many exciting adventures. He's in the forest in Treta Yuga, and there's one demon, Kandamba. He's something like eight miles high. One of the smaller demons back then. He doesn't have a face. Well, in his face is made out of a mouth. He only has a mouth and two arms, which are also eight yojanas, approximately 80 miles long. And with those arms, he catches animals. Like, he has a spear, and on his spear, for lunch, he has... There are tigers on the spear, there are elephants, there are rhinoceroses, and he just kind of like takes them off like a barbecue and eats them. And Lakshman and Lord Ramachandra just walking in the forest, and suddenly they get captured by the two arms of Kandamba. Luckily they didn't get eaten, otherwise the pastime of Lord Ramachandra would have been greatly shortened. not so happy ending. Anyhow, they managed to kill him, and by killing him, they burned his body. And as usual, he turned out to be a demigod who was cursed, like all the other demons, practically. And the pastimes go on to fill up a whole book called the Ramayana. And they're amazing pastimes, especially there's always a battle, like the Battle of Kurukshetra. But this Lord Ramachandra, there are many battles, not only the Battle of Kurukshetra. Krishna also, when he comes, he doesn't usually kill a few people, although in his childhood he was just practicing. He killed a few demons, like, you know, there was Dhenakasura and Palambasura and Vatsasura and Bakasura, just a few, just warming up. And then when he got into Mathura, that's when it really started. Jarasandha attacking with 18 Akshahinis of soldiers 17 times. Actually 18, but Krishna got tired of killing people and just fled, etc. But that was just a warm-up. So similarly, Lord Ramachandra, when he comes, Paritranaya Saudunam, Vinashaya Tridiskritam, Dharma Samstapanarataya, Sambhavam Yuge Yuge. Krishna, whenever he comes, there's going to be something exciting. Otherwise, no one would ever read his book. I mean, people read his book anyhow. That's when he's actually explaining what he's doing. People don't really want to find out why he's doing things. They just want to find out what he's doing, especially if it's exciting. So there's always romance in Krishna's pastimes. There's always some separation. There's always some violence and intrigue, scandals. That way people will read it. And that way we can sell them. So we get some income to offer him some prasadam. But these are actually important. Now, the pastimes have been sung for millions of years. And they're very exciting. And therefore, people have some appreciation. As a matter of fact, in general, I'd say around the world, the pastimes of the Lord Ramachandra have remained in many parts of the world still to this day. Although Prabhupada cautions us that because they don't understand what is actually, who is Krishna and why is he doing what he's doing. As he said in the Bhagavad Gita, he's coming to protect the devotees and to annihilate the demons, as well as to reestablish religious principles. Now in his form of Lord Ramachandra, Ramadi Murti Shukalam Nimena Tishtan, he's an expansion of Krishna, and therefore he shows only partially Krishna's opulences. He certainly showed the opulence of renunciation by leaving the kingdom that his father was about to give him and going into the forest for 14 years. He showed the opulence of beauty when the sages saw him and wanted to become his husband, and he told them that he only accepted one wife, and therefore his next incarnation is Krishna. They could take birth, and they took birth as gopis. He shows certainly strength, killed literally hundreds and thousands of rakshasas single-handedly with just bow and arrow. He showed all these opulences. He didn't manifest the opulence of knowledge by speaking Bhagavad Gita. Although undoubtedly there is so much wisdom in what he said, but Krishna specifically comes and speaks Bhagavad Gita so that we can understand who is Lord Ramachandra? Who are the incarnations? What is their purpose? Why are they coming? What is the actual goal of life for those who are hearing the Ramayana or any other such literature? Otherwise, without that knowledge, then it degrades generally into simply storytelling. exciting storytelling. People make a literally people make a living by inventing stories about Lord Ramachandra. Even some of our own devotees, sometimes they make these amazing pastimes up. And no one knows whether they're real or not, because they're so fantastic, you think, how could they possibly make them up? But that's not what the purpose of the Ramayan, to keep someone awake during class. To make something, even, I told a more exciting story, you know, Lord Ramachandra, and one story I heard that he slapped his hand and killed 10,000 Rakshasas. And you tell it enough, 10,000, boy, that's, it's getting boring. No, he slapped his other hand and then killed another 10,000. So it always has to increase and become more and more interesting. But actually, if we could just chant one time the name of Lord Ram, or the name of Krishna, or Hare, even one time, we'd be so much overwhelmed with ecstasy that we just fall in love with Sita and Ram, Lakshman, Hanuman, and with everyone else. So it's not just that we want to hear pastimes, although they're interesting, because if we learn how to hear pastimes correctly, then we'll actually develop more and more appreciation for Krishna and for his expansions, because Krishna is the sweetest, and his expansions are also very sweet. And by hearing about their wonderful activities, we can actually develop an appreciation that God is not some, you know, all-powerful person who's just waiting to punish us. If we get out of line, for his devotees, he's nice usually. He gives them prasadam. They have some nice, they sing and dance. But if you get out of line, oh, watch out. No, he's not that kind of, he's actually everyone's well-wisher. He actually loves everyone, and his pastimes are specifically meant for a certain class of people so that they can actually develop some appreciation for him. When we hear about Lord Ramachandra coming to Ayodhya with, not Ayodhya, coming to Lanka with Hanuman and Sugriva, Dravida and others, the monkey army, and the Rakshasas coming out of the palace of Ravana, and all these great, great heroes on the part of Ravana's family, all being vanquished one after another, including Indrajit and others. Then one develops at least an appreciation that God is powerful. Now people think, oh yes, you know, God, he's there. If you do something wrong, then you get it. But actually, God is much more powerful than that. Just like nowadays, they're trying to surveil everyone. They want to find out what everyone's doing all the time. But there's an ultimate surveillance. Krishna is in everyone's heart. He knows what we're going to do even before we do it. As a matter of fact, he's the one who's doing it for us through his energies. So to know how powerful Krishna is, that no one defeats him. Although sometimes it appears, even in the case, always there's always these pastimes of Lakshman, Indrajit, where Indrajit throws one arrow, and actually it was a javelin, and Lakshman falls down on the ground, unconscious, and no one knows how to revive him. And then Hanuman flies to the mountain, to the Himalayas, looking for the Jivani herbs. He can't find them, threatens the mountain. Well, he takes the whole mountain in his hands after killing so many yakshas, takes the mountain in his hand, flies back. The sages figure out which the herbs are, give them to Lakshman, and he wakes up again. So even Krishna likes this pastime. When Lord Nityananda was here with his cowherd boy, with his friends, and at that time, they were always playing Lord Ramachandra's pastimes. And Lord Lakshman was playing them, Nityananda was playing them so well that that people began to suspect that maybe he was Lakshman in his past lifetime. And it was so, and he would sometimes play pastimes that no one ever heard about, but they were bona fide. One time they got together and they were going to play the time where Lakshman was hit by Indrajit. And so one of his boyfriends, he threw a flower at Nityananda, and Nityananda fell on the ground unconscious. And everyone came around and said, all right, the play's over, let's go home. And Nityananda was still on the ground unconscious. And they tried to put a little leaf next to him, and he's hardly breathing. So they all got worried. Nitai, just wake up, wake up. The play's over. It's time for, you know, prasadam. Let's go home, you know. He just threw a flower. But still Nitai was completely unconscious. And so they were very disturbed. They went to one man and they told him what had happened. He said, well, why don't one of you pretend to be Hanuman? And you can say, I'm flying to the Himalayas to find the herb, which I'm going to bring back. So he said, I'm flying to the Himalayas. I'm going to pick up the herb. So he flew to the mountain. And he came back and said, here's the herb. And